Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are with Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting here off of the West Coast. We're happy and excited again to be live again on the air. We have a hot show for you tonight. A hot show, H-O-T, hot show tonight. One of our revolutionary sisters from the South Valley here in the Mississippi, San Joaquin Valley. It looks like I didn't put Mississippi on every name, on every city across California. But we're just excited to be on the show again. You know, today I created a Facebook for Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting worldwide from the West Coast here. Last night we had Brother Rod Johnson, who was on the line with us, spit knowledge down to us last night. And so I just want to give a shout out to all of our freedom fighters across the world, those who are deceased and those who are alive. You know, there's not many of us, you know, across the country that's trying to speak truth to power. But, you know, we do what we do. We do what we can. As Bob Marley said, stand up, get up, stand up, fight for your rights. You know, that's all we can do right now is fight for our rights. You know, Dr. King fought, Malcolm fought, Shirley Chisholm fought, Fannie Lou Hamer fought. So, you know, we have to fight. You know, they have passed the baton to us. And, you know, I'm just looking at how the society is going right now. I'm very, very concerned about the direction we're going as a country. I'm not sure if the government is still shut down. Last night it was shut down. It may be open. I hope it's open, but maybe still shut down. I'm not for sure. I know the wall. Trump is trying to still push building his wall. Mexico. So, you know, we just have a lot of issues going on here in Fresno. We're the 10th worst city for black people to live in here in Fresno. Black people. Fresno is the 10th worst city for black people to live in the country. Fresno has the highest concentration of poverty, according to the Brooklyn Institution report, 93706, which is the zip code that I live in. But yet, the San Joaquin Valley makes $60, $50 billion a year in ag. Somebody's perpetrating a fraud. So, you know, as Bob Marley said, hey, you know, we got to get up, stand up for our rights. You know, civil rights wasn't given to us as black people. That's why I named the show Black Lives Matter Show. You know, charity starts at home. I'm a black man, okay, a revolutionary black man, a stand-up black man, speak truth to power black man. And so black lives do matter, okay, because I have to start with me first. People say, why don't all lives matter? Well, they do matter. But I have to worry about my life before I worry about someone else's. So that's where we're at right now here in this country. It's just all messed up. It's toe up from the flow up. And I really don't know what's going to get it back on track. But I do know that unity is power. And that's what I'm pushing now here in Fresno. We have some events that's coming up. We have the 17th, we have the elderly circle that we're organizing, 60 and above of our elders coming together to talk about our youth and how what we need to do to come together. Isn't that remarkable? 60 and above. I mean, that 60 and above was a group that was in around the Black Panther era, the early 1960s and middle 60s, late 70s. So that's that group. You know, they have a lot of knowledge. And so we're going to be having that conversation on the 17th at the Freedom Center here from 6 to 7:30. It's going to be a potluck. And our elders are coming together. I mean, elders. I heard young people coming together. But elders, now this is historic here in Fresno. And then on the 19th, I'm going to be pulling 20 strong black men together, 20 strong, not scared black men together to have a conversation around our babies killing and murdering each other here in Fresno. We're going to have a lot of folks there with a lot of experience. I'm bringing what I have to the table. And again, unity is our power. And, you know, unity, I feel, can be the catalyst for change. But we have to come to the table and have a conversation. You know, you may not like the brother across the table, but it's not about you. It's about us. It's about our community. And I think we need to get away from this conversation of I and start looking at us, we. You know, we need to change the narrative right now because we're dying. We are a dying people. But here's the good part. Black people have been enslaved over 400 years in this country, over 400 years, and we're still here 400 years later. With the barbaric treatment that we have been treated as a people, women being lynched, men being lynched, women, babies cut out of their stomach and their baby head is stomped on, black men being tied, two different horses pulled apart. Jasper, Texas, we had a black man tied behind a truck, pulled until all his limbs was up. I mean, we have been through hell in this country. I'm talking about black people. Now, I know everybody done had their issues, but I'm specifically talking about black people right now because nobody wants to have a conversation about do black lives really matter. I mean, I'm the founder of Black Lives Matter here in Fresno. I shut down River Park for 9 hours, cost the city over $10,000 with 80 motorcycle cops, and we had over 300 people there saying black and brown lives matter. So, you know, we got to have a conversation. We got to have a conversation. But we want to bring on our guest tonight. I want to kind of give the framework before I bring her in. I'm trying to remember. I'm getting old. I got all this gray on my chin now. I'm trying to remember right now how did I meet this sister, and I can't even remember how I met her, but I'm glad I met her. because she has a lot of energy. She is very smart. She's very bright, beautiful revolutionary sister. She speaks truth to power. A businesswoman too, entrepreneur. She can build anything with her hands. Yes, I'm talking about a black woman here. I'm talking about a black sister. I'm talking about our African queen here that I'm talking about. She can believe that she can build a house from bottom up. She works on call. I mean, it's really nothing that I haven't seen her preach in the pulpit yet, but she probably can do that too. I might have to give her a chance to do that. But, you know, it's just good to see our black women who are still in the struggle. You know, I don't see that too often here. I don't see our black sisters. I mean, I know we got conscious sisters, but I'm talking about conscious sisters who is on the front line. In the trenches, you know, with when I say in the trenches, I mean up on the sidewalk with me, you know, speaking truth to power. And so, you know, she's come down to Fresno to partake. Now, check this out. This sister drove all the way from Hanford on her dime. She drove all the way from Hanford on her dime to come help our children cut weeds at their school. I mean, that's just, you know, a lot of integrity, character, you know, compassion and love that she has for children. And and not to prolong her coming on, we want to hear what she has to say. She wants to hear about Hanford, what is going on in Hanford, California. I visited Hanford. I have a little history with Hanford. We may get into that. We may not. But I just wanted to bring her on tonight to just really give her a platform so that she could speak, so that she can have a voice to talk about what's going on in Hanford, what's going on with her, how she see the country, our youth, and things that she wants to do. I mean, you know, she's not 70, 80, 90 years old. I mean, even if she was 70, 80, she'd probably act like she's 30. But I'm just saying. But nevertheless, we're going to bring Sharon Watts on the show. Good evening, my sister. How are you? We're glad to have you on the show. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. Welcome to our show.
Good evening, Dr. Harris and those in the audience. I want to say thank you for having me on the show and for creating an opportunity for me to have a voice and be a part of the Freedom School. I really appreciate it.
Yes, we are happy to have you with us today. So you're from Hanford, California, and
yeah, I'm from Hanford, California. Been born, not born here, but raised here all my life. I've gone to school, from kindergarten through high school, and I've had a lot of, I have four girls. All have been raised here in Hanford. I'm a single parent. And I said all the things that Mr. Harris spoke about, I do it. It sounded real good hearing him say that and having somebody actually recognize the things that a sister does, because it's hard for us as black sisters and single parents on top of it to get any type of help and recognition, especially sometimes it seems from our black men and thus from any other body in society. That's one of the reasons I believe you helped to give me this voice, is because you recognize that in the things that I was speaking to you about, that we need a voice and someone to say that these things aren't right. And not only are they not right, they're only occurring to me and happening because I'm black. And nobody is standing up to say that, to the point where, you know, it seems like a fight that I'm fighting alone by myself here in Mississippi, Hanford.
So let me ask you a question. When you spoke about, again, we want to thank those who are on live stream right now. Thank you for tuning in. We have Sharon Watts from Mississippi Hanford. I've renamed her city to Mississippi. As you all know, I call this Mississippi Fresno. And we call it Mississippi for a reason. But one of the things I hear you say a lot, and I'd like for you to not saying this for you to beat up on anyone, but we keep it real. You know, we keep it real on Black Lives Matter. So we keep it 100. But I hear you speak a lot about the black man and how you feel that the black man needs to be more present and more visible in the community here. And I know that historically there's reasons why the black man may stay down because of fear, because of retaliation. But it seemed like there's a disconnect between the black man and the black woman today when it comes to working together, standing together. Can you kind of go into that from your perspective?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. One of the things that I want to touch on and what you are doing by providing this cast here is opening up a dialogue for us black people, men and women, to have honest conversations between each other. Even in our differences, we need to open up and be able to have these type of conversations. And they are to create a foundation, because for so long, keeping it real, for so long, the white man has feared the black man coming together, the black family coming together, having any kind of strength. So therefore, there's been, there's a conspiracy. But since slavery and throughout, there's been a lot of things in our system and in our economy, in our environments, that causes separation and division amongst our black families, amongst our black men, being kept in prison, having laws that easily get them caught up, have being on probation and things like that forever, where they can't even get off to have any say in things. But there's, it takes both the mother and the father to be an important part in raising our families. However, so much causes us to have separation and division amongst the black families that it seems hard to come back together. Even in recently going on with the R. Kelly thing, it's interesting to see the division among black people, negative and positive, about what's going on. And that's a small issue in our black community, yet a big issue, because it's happening. And that's another thing that, again, we as black women are overlooked, to the point that people are, making a baby, the girl, feel guilty about doing something wrong and not having the man step up to the fact that he knew from the get-go, regardless of who pushed the child in his face, that it wasn't right. So, again, this goes back to how divided we are as a community, even in things like the R. Kelly thing and issues that just keep us from not being able to talk together as black people and to strengthen our black community.
Well, we have Sharon Watts here from Hanford, California. If those of you want to call in to 619-924-0872, 619-924-0872. Just one more time, 619-924-0872. Call into Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. You may have a comment, or you just may want to listen in on your phone, or we're live streaming right now, even though you don't physically see me, because I didn't want you to see me today. Because I believe Crystal Joyce said that. Anyway, I won't go into that. But anyway, Just call in if you like, if you have a comment. We're here talking with Sister Sharon Watts from Hanford, Mississippi, Hanford. Sharon, talk to me about the movement right now that you feel or see from the Black perspective in the Black community just here in the San Joaquin Valley. Why is it
non-existent in Hanford?
I mean, why is it that we can't get no momentum that's going on, even in Fresno? You know, we there's Black people here, there's wealthy Blacks, there's poor Blacks, middle class Blacks. I don't know what's there in Hanford, but it just seems like we can't come together. Why is that? I mean, it seems like that should be the easiest pieces to come together, but it's the most difficult piece for us as a people to come together. Can you give me your perspective on that?
Well, I mean, you know, I am only one person with one opinion about why we in Hanford can't come together in a rather small community with a lot of a very large Black population. However, I was in a particular case involved with the Kings County where I missed a day of court, and my baby was given custody to her father, and it was a lot of things that went on that should not have happened. And when I went to get help, I was treated like I was a criminal. And the one thing that I noticed in the system, that there was nobody black to help. So when I even went on Facebook to ask, is there anybody Black in the Facebook community on my Facebook page that can get me in touch with someone that can help, not one answer. And maybe even it doesn't sound like too many people are chiming in now, because of the concern is not that great for Black people. That's why it seems like I fight alone for what I have to do. And if there's a movement, I don't know about it.
So let me ask you this here. I hear a lot of Black women are, as we say, queens. How does it make you feel to have a Black man that is not scared and that will speak out and will stand up and that is willing to, if need be, to go to jail, if need be, to die for the liberation of justice and equality for the Black woman? Do we have any of those men anymore here in society?
Very, very few, because the ones that may want to step out are even limited, because they might have to go to jail for trying to stand up at for their family, for what's right. Excuse me. But it is important for a man to be a leader. It is important for a man to step up and address the issues of the family with the community and things like that. But again, when it comes to the Black man and the Black woman, when they step up and try to be a voice in the community and let people know that we know you're not doing us right up over here, that we know we have to have change and make a change, somehow, some way, that voice gets shut down. Or not, and if it doesn't get shut down, the people of the Black community, for whatever personal reasons, don't want to support the brother or sister because of whatever they got going on in their own lives, you know what I'm saying, turning a blind eye and just, again, causing our community to be so divided. It can get that. Well, it seems hard to come back together. But the black, it is important for the black man to be a leader, maintain his leadership, and it's important for the black woman to support the black man, even support the black man in raising a black child. I only have girls, so I don't know how necessarily it is to raise a young black boy into being a black man, but I know that it's important that a black woman be a part of that, because we are the queens, the mothers of the earth anyway.
Right. You know, and it takes me to the reasoning that on the I want to do this walk, and I put a call out in the community that I was looking for 20 not scared black men to walk the community with me. Now, on the 19th, we're going to gather. We're going to have food, breakfast style. Treat everybody with first class, because that's what we do. And on the 21st is the day that the city of Fresno do their fake MLK marching and all this have a dream crap. Is the day that these men. Going to go out with me into the community, and it's important that we start as men having a conversation. You might keep hearing me saying that word, have a conversation. We have major problems now. I don't have all the answers to the problems. I may have a piece of solution, but I don't have the full solution to the problem. And I think that the solution to the problem relies in us, if we can come to the table and show some type of unity together, brotherhood, dignity, honor with one another, because our babies are out here just killing one another. I mean, it's it's just a massacre here in Fresno with our young babies now. And they need that male figure, you know, not degrading the woman, but we have to get out in the streets where these brothers and sisters are. We have to get out there, not just in the daytime, but the nighttime. We have to go out there and embrace our children. Well, so I said, well, Reverend Harris, you must be crazy, because these kids got guns and stuff. Yeah, they do have guns. But you know what? We got love. We got open arms. We got compassion. Now, who want to hurt someone that's showing them love? And so I think that we have some men who have stepped up. I'm going to be contacting them. This is not a police thing. I want to make that clear. This has nothing to do with the police. I don't roll with the police. I deal with the police if I have to, on business levels, but this is not something I partner with. This is black men going to a black community, the black boys, horses to them, to have a conversation, to listen to them, to see what's going on. It's just sad, Sister Sharon, that what I'm seeing right now. You know, I've always dealt with police brutality. Everybody know me for that. But then I get questions like, well, Reverend, how come you don't care about black and black crime like you do police brutality? I never thought I didn't. But now I'm putting, you know, my feet to the pavement now. So if I can't get the 20 black men, then I'll go with the black women. Whatever it takes, on the 21st, we will be out in the community, not just talking to them, but loving them, letting them know that they are somebody. Finding out what
I say, along with going out into the community, we should also help to set some things up to find some solutions to what's causing the youngsters in the community to be angry enough and misled enough to feel that they have to be shooting amongst each other. We have to provide career opportunities and different things for the youngsters to look forward to, so they don't have to grow up thinking that they have to sell drugs as a means to survive or as a way to get them Jordans that they want. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that are against us right now, and we are fully aware of them. So now it's time for us to fix or find a solution and work on getting them done. And that's, again, providing not only if we go out to the community to speak to our young men and young black women, we want to know that if it's something that they say, well, we can't find a job, but what is it that we can do to help you find a job? And then let us provide some resources that we know of that may be helpful to you. And sometimes a lot of black people aren't willing to put their hand out because I might lose my job if I tell you about a job. But then that's another issue. We need to be the ones being the owners of the job, the bosses of the job. So we're not going to lose anything by helping someone learn to do something, even if, you know, they make a mistake at it or anything like that. But we have to speak to them and give them hope by giving them resources, even if it means, you know, we have to have somebody come by every day. Let's go through this computer and let's look up this Caltrans job. Or let me help you get this application filled out right. We have to have different members of our community wanting and willing to step forward and help the youngsters in these black communities do things like that. Even to the point of opening them up to different career opportunities beyond sports and rap stars. You know, we need lawyers. We need judges. We need teachers. We need more presidents, black presidents. We need to continue to encourage our children. And I'll say again, as we spoke yesterday on with Mr. Ron, it's important that you men are recognizing and doing things with the children, because those are the most influential and the ones who are going to be running our future. So in instilling them the strong moral values that we've lost because of so many different things, you're creating a strong foundation that, you know, the kids, just from the little that they learn, will continue to go on with.
Exactly, and you hit the nail right on the head, and that's the piece that I've been talking to my team about bringing to the table is resources. You know, when we go out, I want to identify that, you know, we have these jobs here. We have these jobs here earmarked. Because listen, a lot of our here's the problem that I see that's going on in the neighborhood. You know, take the Fresno Freedom Center. We spend a lot of quality time with these 3 years old and follow them all the way to high school. We've been able to get 116 kids into black colleges. A lot of people don't even know that. You know, while people running around.
Now that's cool. Well, they need to know more about it.
You know, we don't like Reverend Harris. He's this and he's that. And he's type of these. Well, we don't put 116 kids in black colleges already, okay? And these little babies right now, I teach them social skills. We teach them social skills. We teach them how to cut the lawn. We teach them how to use a weed eater. We teach them how to do public speaking. We teach them how to bake. We teach them how to cook. We send our children on discovery workshops and centers in the summertime. Our children know how to bake, they know how to cook, they know how to sew. These are the things that helps develop a child at the age of 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And we follow these children all the way to high school, right? We're advocates for them. We're on, my staff, we're on their emergency cards at school when a problem go down, we're there. Because we want that child and that parent to know, no, yeah, this may be your biological child, but it's our child too. See, it took a village to raise a child. We have gotten away, black people have gotten away from this concept of it takes a village to raise a child. Now, right now, the village is segregated. The black village is segregated. See, we used to be able to raise each other's children. Your children, your child did something wrong down the street, you whooped them in, and when they got home, they got another one. Well, you try to do that today, you'll get your brains blown out, and you're trying to save the child's life. My point is this, is that we have to stop going out in the neighborhood because the brothers and sisters are going to survive either way. But when we go to them, we have to go with them with an alternative. We have to go with them with resources. You know, when we go out, I'm already going to know who hired felons. I'm going to know that before we take one step out in the street. Because if we find a brother who's or sister, hey, you know, I'm tired. I'm going to change my life. I need a job. Hey, right here, okay? And we're going to walk this bridge with you to the end, okay? So that's the support I feel that we're bringing to the table, Freedom School, and, you know, my supporters that work with me. And I just want to see, you know, what else can we do to support our babies out here? Because I'm telling you, it is a massacre that black life has no value. I mean, we talk about Black Lives Matter. Yes, it matters. It always matters. You know, it matters with black-on-black crime. It matters against police brutality. And so I just think we have to be more progressive and more strategic, more transparent, bringing, like you said, more resources to the table to help these children because they're scared. They're scared. And, you know, I've buried a lot of them. You know, and it's like I'm tired of burying children at a young age, you know. But we're here with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show here broadcasting out of Mississippi, Fresno. It is 8:37 p.m. On a Tuesday, 2019. We're here with Sharon Watts from Hanford, California. I renamed her city to Mississippi, Hanford, California. And we have our sister down there as an activist trying to be a thermostat, trying to change things for a positive way for black people and people in the city of Hanford. And she comes up against so much opposition. I tell you, Sister Sharon, from the Grapevine, Bakersfield, all the way down to Stockton, we have black people in all these little different cities. And they're catching hell. They're catching hell because they don't have no support. They're catching hell because, I mean, you said something the other day. I'd like for you to talk about it. You said about the black church. Can you talk about that again? You spoke briefly about the black church.
But I mean, you know, that's like a sacred type kind of subject. However, the sacredness has been taken away from it. When in our little community, I can walk about 100 feet and see a couple of different, at least two black churches. And then walk another 100 feet or so, or at less than a couple of minutes or so away, and find a couple of more black churches. And then in the community in itself, within a 5-mile radius, there's about 8 to 10 different churches, and this is in, you know, like I said, in a 5-mile radius on the south side of Hanford. What are all these churches for? And we can't even get no crosswalks in front of the park and the recreation center. You know what I'm saying? What are the churches for when we still see economic development in the community could be a whole lot better in a home garden area. They put some new stuff, not too long ago, a clinic out there, and along the route that you one would naturally take to get to the clinic, they have that kind of looking halfway sightly. But the rest of the area, they're not concerned. You know, it's so, one thing, I don't know if I'm getting off subject, but before I forget it, I wanted to mention, too, with the kids, it's important that in providing them with resources, we encourage them to be self-sufficient and be leaders, to have their own, because society is not going to give us anything. We have to either take it or make it.
Wow, take it or make it. That is so profound. We at 619-924-0872, 619-924-0872. I had a colleague of mine, he was mentioning to me, we were talking about Fresno has the highest concentration of property, 10th worst city in the country for black people to live in. And he said, you know, Dr. Harris, he says, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to take it in the wrong way. I have the utmost respect for you here in the community. I see you out there. See you. Well, you speak truth to power. And he said, but I don't want you to feel that I'm putting you in this category. I said, no, just go ahead and speak freely. And he said, okay. He said, you know, he said, I find it interesting in West Fresno how we have churches just about on every other block. He said, to get salvation, he said, you can walk just about one or two blocks to find salvation. He said, but for a young brother, and he was talking about the young brothers, he said, a young brother can find salvation on the first two blocks. He said, but the brother looking for a job, he has to travel 10 miles.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I had to kind of think of, I said, wait a minute. I said, what did you just say? So he said it again, and what he was saying was, he was saying the black community do not have the resources that is needed. We have the spiritual resources, right, what he was saying. He said, but when it comes to economic, you know, for the black man to get a job, he said, we just don't have it. We got to travel all the way to someone else's community and beg them for a job, right? And travel 10 miles. I mean, it just, I don't know, the way the content, the way he put it, you know, was just so profound.
Because it's understood that the church should be the one that's providing the main resources, not only to get jobs, but again, to be, have us put in a position to create our own jobs. Be self-sufficient, not to have to rely on the government when the government shuts down the way it is. We don't have to go to the government for nothing. We don't have to go for no food stamps. Or we're making our own food. Because, I mean, the food you're getting with the food stamps anyway, people, are the meat, and that's, we really don't need that the way they're putting all the growth hormones and steroids and stuff in them. One cow is really 10 cows. You eat one steak, but it's got the hormones from 10.
Right, and wonder why
our children are slightly bigger than, you know, than we are. It's because of the stuff that they put in the food, and because it's all about money and ain't a damn thing funny. They encouraging us, brainwashing us to drink milk. It's good for your bones. Drink cow milk. It's good for your cow bones. You know what I'm saying? But milk does a body good. Milk will kill you. Cow milk.
That's a whole nother show we're going to talk about, is food. Vegan, and should we be eating meat and should we not be eating meat? But I just want to thank all of those who are live streaming that came in a little earlier. Hope you're still there. Kick back in your chair, get, you know, something hot to drink, and just tune in. With Sharon here from Hanford, California, better known as Mississippi Hanford. I'm broadcasting from Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno, the community that has the highest concentration of poverty in the world, the 10th worst city for black people to live in the United States of America. I wanted to talk about real quick, briefly, about the conversation of meat. Those that follow me on Facebook, I've been working out pretty heavily, intensely at Planet Fitness and changed up my diet, how I eat. I really have not been eating meat, probably 98%. I did eat a piece of a strip of turkey bacon a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, my diet has really changed from the way I used to eat. Those of you know, I used to barbecue almost twice a week and chicken and ribs and all of that. And I haven't eaten like that. My body feels lighter. My digestive system feels lighter. And just doing research on me, those who know the Freedom School we have, teach the farm with ACT, all that good stuff. Even my students, you know, they have changed their diet. My board, Freedom School board, you know, they went and got gym memberships at Planet Fitness, and they're working out. Matter of fact, they went early this morning about 5 o'clock. You know, I'm going tomorrow, even after work. But my point is that I feel that United States of America has tricked us into eating certain things that we should not be eating, or at least I feel we should not be eating, drinking things that we should not be drinking. And I want to talk about the ape right now. The ape, big as an ape is, a gorilla, big bulky arms, short legs, real stocky, an ape. Eats vegetables all the time, just about 98% of the time. He eats vegetables. Okay, a giraffe eats vegetables. It doesn't eat meat. When we look at an elephant, big as an elephant is, it eats grass, hay. When we look at these animals, it's like look at the cow. Look at the cow. The cow doesn't eat meat, but we eat the cow. To make matters worse, the cow produced milk. Well, when that cow has a baby, what do the milk supposed to do? The calf supposed to drink the milk. We're not supposed to be drinking the same milk that the calf is drinking, but we are. And then we wonder why all this cancer and things are happening to us right now. And I'm just really, I'm not knocking those who eat meat. I mean, you can eat whatever you want to eat. But I'm just telling you, I'm coming to the consciousness that there's certain foods I believe we should not be eating. I mean, I go to restaurants and I see people eating steaks and it's blood running all out of it.
I'm just
asking everyone to just really start taking time out to really research what you're eating. Is it good for you? Is it not good for you? I think
you had mentioned earlier that somebody had spoke to you about a lot of the way that we may behave has to do with what we eat. We are what we eat, and I do believe that, and I don't think that it's necessary to stop eating meat. However, when we eat the meat that we buy from the stores and from the supermarkets, it's so many different additives to it: growth hormones, steroids, so many things to increase their production, increase their growth, to increase their attractiveness to us in the stores, that they forget about, that we're actually want to eat this. But they want more money, so again, they put so many different things in the chicken. We even seen a video where they was had some inserting this liquid in it to the turkeys and making the breasts look plumper. So, I say I'm not against necessarily eating meat, but I would rather eat the meat that I raise and I know what's going in and I know the land that it's been on and things like that. But to trust what the next man in the supermarket is feeding us and what they're putting in the food, no, not at all. They do what they want, and you know you could be eating what you think is steak, but it could be prime canine.
All right, that's Sister Sharon from Hanford, California. You too much. Well, can those who may want to call in 619-924-0872. We're interviewing Sharon from Hanford, California. Sharon, let me ask you something about the city of Hanford. What in the city of Hanford that you can consider as a black historical location that
Brown Street. No, I'm sorry. Say it again.
What? There's a place where black people can go in Hanford that can identify is like a Chinatown. You know, Chinese people know. You know, you can go to any city. Chinatown is their home. Where in Hanford do black folks go that can just, you know, relax, kick back? Is there any place, I mean, has the city created any place for black folks to go to say that it's theirs?
Not at all. The only thing that comes close to mind is just a park, and I can't say it's a black park, but it's a park that's associated with the South Side and black community of Hanford more than anything that I know of. But as far as a one particular community or even a particular area that has been maintained because of the black history, no, they don't have it. And when you first said it, I mentioned Brown Street. And that was Brown Street is a street that had this little club, and not only club, a couple of different businesses that were owned by black people. They have since been torn down, but other than that, you know, there's nothing to remind the Hanford residents other than Cole Park that we have a black community, and our black community, the way I feel, is becoming further and further divided.
Mm-hmm. So what do the city of Hanford do? Let's say Dr. King holiday is coming up. What are some of the activities that the city of Hanford does to recognize Dr. King and all of his work and sacrifice? Is there anything that goes on there in the city of Hanford?
They do actually have a march from a particular church up to the Civic Auditorium in Hanford, and you know they do a few things to recognize Martin Luther King birthday. I've never participated in any of the events because I again don't feel that It that's the one day that you come together to walk and say that you support King and what they're doing. And then when a sister asks for some help from the black community, I can't get none. So yeah, that's to me, it's phony to in my opinion, only because, you know, we should come together more than just to recognize King's birthday. We need to recognize what's going on in our community that's keeping black folks from being in positions of authority to make differences here in Hanford. That's what we need to be doing, marching on that.
So what I find interesting is, even here in Fresno, it seems that the real Dr. King, the issues that he stood for, really is like not even on, is like the back burner. It's like more of this kumbaya, you know, march in the streets. Let's get a couple of photo ops with the newspaper, get the TV stations out there, show all this unity. You know, there's no problems in Fresno, there's no problems in Hanford, you know, and people see this on the television and on TV and on a newspaper, and it's like, wow, everything is great in Fresno, everything is fine in Hanford. And then when we come to find out that Fresno, I mean, I think that Dr. King is really upset right now. I think Dr. King right now would say, how dare you march in the street with my sign, with my black people in Fresno, and you're the 10th worst city. How dare you march in the street with my sign, with my banner? You know, who's having a conversation about trying to correct, you know, or to make a difference with this right now? It just seemed like we just go with the flow, you know. I don't know. I dealt with Hanford when Hanford didn't want to recognize Dr. King holiday. And, you know, I had to go down there, you know, and let them know that, you know, his bullet, you know, was the signature.
Now to have to have come from a different county and city to help us black people get that passed, what is that saying? We haven't come any further than that. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? How I can't say what I was doing. I somewhat remember when that was going on, but still yet, how not to recognize that, especially when you recognize even simple. We still recognize an Abraham Lincoln, or however you say his name. What he do necessarily? You know what I'm saying? It's a token gesture, far as that goes, giving us the holiday, because it don't necessarily mean nothing. They were forced to make us happy, keep us quiet, type kind of thing. Because if they had it by choice, no, they wouldn't have done it. That's why they didn't want to do it. But again, it's like you said, he would be mad because y'all marching and not making a big difference in our black community. It should be lawyers and doctors and stuff marching in the front line. Then look what Dr. King did by opening up avenues and means for us to seek different opportunities in life and not be restricted by what the white man or whomever is saying we can and can't do.
Right. We have a statement on Facebook. We're at 619-924-0872. And I'm just going to read the statement. It says, our youth are out of control from lack of job skills and gainful employment. Our youth are out of control from lack of job skills and gainful employment. And he's right. I mean, it's like, who want to hire black people? I mean, that's why we have to have our own businesses. I mean, That's why Black Wall.
And that's why you. That's why you have your kids get up and go cut the yard, even when they don't want to, learning how to do something. Have them doing something, even if it's some community service, learning some job skills. You may own your own home and need to know how to cut your yard before you hire somebody else to do it. And when kids get to, oh, we don't know how to do this, because you was crying every time I told you to go cut the grass or asked you to go do this. My girls, they know here just about everything that I do. My girls know how to do. They chose not to necessarily have careers in them specific things, but my babies know how to work on cars, houses, whatever it is I know how to do, my babies do it. So they wouldn't have to get into the workforce or even just come into society not knowing nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it I do feel where they say that a lot of kids don't have skills, but we can't blame it on the kids. It's the parents. What we provide and what we do to teach our kids not only skills, the moral value type skills, but skills in learning how to be patient with people, learning how to be a team player. Them type of skills are important. Learning how to have skills and being confident in your own work, in your own hands, and your own thoughts. We as parents, those are what we are responsible for before they even get out to going to school and letting somebody else have a say in it. So when our kids are out of hand, they're first out of hand because we as parents let it happen with no excuses.
Right, That's my thought on it. Right. Well, we have a good friend here, Sharon Watts from Hanford, California. And we're going to go ahead. It's the end of our show now. We're glad to have her aboard. We thank her for coming in and giving her perspective about what's going on in the city of Hanford, as well as Fresno, as well as across the world. Bob Marley says, get up and stand up. Get up and stand up.